Search crews look for survivors of a midair off the California coast. A Pitts lands atop a Skyhawk, but everybody's okay. And a deer loses a confrontation with a landing aircraft in Oregon. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, May 19th, 2009. Aero News has learned of a mid-air collision over the Pacific Ocean off Long Beach Harbor in California. As of our deadline early this morning, all that was known was that two general aviation aircraft were witnessed colliding by the pilot of a third aircraft not involved. Searchers have found debris, including portions of landing gear, but odds of finding survivors are thought to be slim. One local news report has one of the planes as a 172 based in Long Beach. No tail numbers had been confirmed as of early this morning. Check back with aero-news.net for updates. All four occupants involved walked away with only minor injuries, reported Sunday, when a Pitts Model 12 biplane apparently overtook and landed on top of a Cessna 172 at Skagit Regional Airport in Burlington, Washington. Weather was reported light winds and visibility at least 9. Both aircraft were substantially damaged, and witnesses say the big biplane came down inverted after falling off the top of the Skyhawk. Familiar scenario, high-wing airplane on the bottom, another plane with limited forward visibility coming in above. The National Transportation Safety Board will have an official probable cause report in time. Local media reports that on Saturday afternoon, a Piaggio Avanti twin turboprop pusher hit a deer during a landing attempt at the private Antone Ranch airstrip east of Prineville, Oregon. The pilot got the plane back in the air and diverted to Redmond, where he couldn't keep the plane on the runway when he did land. Damage is described as minor. To the plane, that is. The deer reportedly didn't pull through. The pilot and 9 passengers were reportedly uninjured. Initial inspection of the plane suggests the impact with the deer damaged a main gear wheel, resulting in the control problem. The NTSB has determined that a V-tailed Bonanza that crashed while returning to a runway following takeoff from Palm Beach County Airport in Lantana, Florida on May 6th, had undergone extensive engine work about 6 months earlier, but accumulated only 2.5 hours on the tack since. Witnesses say the pilot suffered an apparent engine failure only about 30 seconds after takeoff and tried to turn back. The short landing and resulting collision with aircraft on the ground claimed the lives of the pilot and his passenger. So far, investigators say the recovered engine showed compression and spark on all cylinders, the fuel pump was still attached, and there was no fuel contamination found. The crank turned freely and the rocker arms were moving. The investigation will continue. Up next on ANN, could Congress be hurting the airline's freight business? NORAD reschedules a terrorist drill after a rainout, and a U.S. airman is credited with saving an airliner and its passengers. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 19th. I'm Paul Plack. The Associated Press reports that over the next few weeks, thousands of crates of Washington State cherries will be loaded as cargo on passenger flights, leaving the west coast of the U.S. for markets in Pacific Rim countries. Growers use passenger planes because ships are too slow and cargo-only flights are not seen as frequent or reliable enough. But in 2007, Congress passed a law requiring the phase-in of cargo inspections for all airline flights, including international ones. Now that implementation is reaching wide-body planes used for trans-Pacific service, some growers are talking about using planes originating north of the U.S. border in Canada. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration says the screening process will be fast and that avoiding disruptions to commerce is a priority. The test will come in the next few weeks. Sylvia Scherer, a customs broker for Universal Freight Forwarders in Tukwila, Washington, matter-of-factly tells the AP, quote, "We work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to get the cherries moving during harvest. We'll do what we have to do to move the freight and either meet the regulations or avoid them," unquote. A NORAD drill scheduled over Washington, D.C. this past Friday and Saturday was scuttled by weather, but participating agencies are scheduled to try again tonight. Two Civil Air Patrol Cessna 172s will simulate the airspace intruders, while Air Force F-16s and Coast Guard helicopters will respond. The operation is being called Exercise Falcon Virgo and is the latest in a series of post-9/11 training drills. They're always scheduled at night in order to avoid disrupting civilian air traffic. If you're sleeping with the windows open, expect the fun to start shortly after midnight. The U.S. Air Force is convening a board to investigate the crash of a Predator drone in Afghanistan last Thursday. The MQ-1 is a medium-altitude, long-endurance, unmanned aircraft used for interdiction and conducting armed reconnaissance against critical, perishable targets. The Air Force stresses that the Predator, quote, is a system, not just an aircraft, unquote. That means the investigation will deal not only with the onboard hardware, but also with the supporting satellite link, ground station, and crews. A U.S. active-duty airman is credited with saving 300 lives while flying as a passenger on an airliner. The Air Force reports Staff Sergeant Bartek Bakleda, a boom operator with the 909th Air Refueling Squadron, was on a flight with an unnamed airline from Chicago to Narita Airport in Japan. After noticing what he thought might be a fuel leak during takeoff, he continued watching until he was pretty sure. About an hour into the flight, Bakleda tried to tell the cabin crew, but got the brush off from a flight attendant. After making a video recording of the leak, he pressed the matter. Quote, ma'am, it's an emergency, unquote. He identified himself and showed her the leak on video. Quote, you need to inform your captain before we go oceanic, unquote. The flight's captain reportedly came out from the cockpit to have a look out Bakleda's window before diverting to San Francisco. It turns out the flight crew had been troubleshooting the unexplained loss of 6,000 gallons per hour of fuel, and the plane would not have made Japan. Bakleda and a co-worker caught the next flight to Narita from San Francisco, and the airline reportedly upgraded them to first class. Still ahead, airline tickets sold by the passenger pound could get another look. Go will not be allowed to call itself Aloha. And is airline really the FAA's middle name? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, May 19th. I'm Paul Plack. If you needed any extra incentive to start hitting the gym, here it is. An entrepreneur who anticipated the airline baggage charges, which came into vogue about a year ago, now says airfares based on passenger weight are next. This is no publicity stunt by Ryanair. This time, the prediction comes from Zeke Adkins, who in 2004 launched Luggage Forward, a company which specializes in shipping those heavy bags which would cost you dearly to check with your airline. In comments to Josh Knoll of the Tribune newspapers, Adkins says, quote, I don't know it'll happen in the next 4 or 5 months, but in the next year or 18 months, airlines will have to start taking this into account. Remember, 2 years ago, charging for a bag seemed pretty far out there, unquote. Industry analyst Robert Mann agrees it's possible. Quote, it's the way cargo flies. If something is twice the weight, you pay twice as much. It might be widely poo-pooed, but if fuel goes back to being as expensive as it was, there will be some more of these public articulations. Unquote. Rebecca Puhl, director of research at Yale University's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity, is a frequent critic of public policy which discriminates by weight. Quote, if some kind of increased fee is going to be inevitable, They need to find ways to charge those fees without humiliating people. I just don't see how all this can be implemented in a way that is effective and fair, unquote. Predictions vary on how the charge would be assessed. Building the infrastructure to individually weigh each passenger and his baggage at the airport in a manner preserving privacy and dignity would take some work. U.S. bankruptcy judge Lloyd King apparently was not impressed by all the nice things Mesa Air Group wanted to do for the former employees of Aloha Airlines. The Associated Press reports King ruled last week that Mesa cannot use the Aloha name on its Hawaiian Go subsidiary, not even through a licensing deal with the former Aloha stockholder who now controls the bankrupt company's assets. Go came on the scene in 2006, providing serious price competition in what had been a very sleepy inter-island marketplace. Mesa was found to have engaged in illegal anti-competitive behavior when it presented itself as a bidder for struggling Hawaiian Airlines, then used information gained confidentially to compete with Hawaiian and Aloha. Mesa was ordered to pay a settlement of $80 million as a result. Aloha succumbed to the price war, shutting down service last year. Mesa was moving to take over the name and intellectual property of the former Aloha Airlines for as little as $6 million. The seller was Yukaipa Companies, LLC, which reportedly lost investments totaling $113 million when Aloha went bust. Mesa had promised to provide some additional benefits to former Aloha workers displaced by that shutdown. The apparent attempt to buy out Aloha's good reputation has not sat well with Judge King, who has now blocked the name change even though Yukaipa was the winning bidder for Aloha's assets. In his denial, he said in part, quote, Mesa succeeded in inflicting great harm, not only upon the Aloha corporate entities, but also upon thousands of Aloha employees and their families. Now, through Yukaipa, Mesa seeks to perfect its wrongdoing by becoming Aloha. As a further complication, Mesa's past dishonesty in this court will surround any hearing in which its veracity is at issue with an atmosphere of disbelief, unquote. And finally, it's not uncommon to find people in general aviation or elsewhere who believe the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration sees its mission as accommodating the operation and profits of the airlines. To some degree, it's understandable. Until just a few years ago, the FAA's official mission included promoting airline travel, and the number of airline passengers each year obviously outnumbers the number of people traveling in general aviation aircraft by a wide margin. But it's still a little surprising when a sitting U.S. senator, in this case New York Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand, writes to NTSB Acting Chairman Mark Rosenker regarding Flight 3407 and says this, quote, The Federal Airline Administration must accept some of the responsibility for the tragedy in Buffalo, or these systemic risks and failures will continue, unquote. If a U.S. senator thinks that middle A is for airline, is that a symptom or a cause of the agency's relationship with general aviation? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves concludes a discussion of the Flight 3407 cockpit voice transcripts and gives us his specific ideas for fixing a broken flight training industry. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.